Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. It is March 29th, 2011. Wouldn't this be a daily headliner if a Republican were in the White House? The tragedy of the U.S. military's, what's been called their kill team in Afghanistan, soldiers whose platoon, they openly plotted and then staged the killing of a handful of unarmed civilians in a number of different maneuvers where they would identify an unarmed Afghan who was not a threat and no evidence whether or not this person was even siding with the Taliban or not. One as young as a 15-year-old boy who was working in an open field, and they would kill them. They would kill these civilians intentionally and then even take prizes, cut off a finger, mutilate the corpse, pose with photos. Now, Abu Ghraib, which was enormously shameful and embarrassing to the United States, that was rightly shouted from the housetops, and there's a double standard, and the double standard is good for the conservative side, the right-wing side. It's good because we want to be held to a higher standard than the godless hold themselves to. We want that. And so there is a double standard. It's just that the double standard, it hurts the liberals, the socialists, the Democrats, the child killers, the abortionists, and so on. So there so far has been one conviction of a U.S. soldier who has been sentenced to 24 years, and other convictions are on the way. And this is just a great, great tragedy. You could Google kill team, Afghanistan kill team, and in our show summary for today, we will put a link to an article about documenting the horror that was happening through much of last year. And so far, no officers have been charged, even though this was openly planned and executed platoon-wide in a remote part of Afghanistan. So great tragedy. And when things like this happen, many people would want to sweep it under the rug. We interviewed Trey Smith a little while ago, author of Thieves, the dirty televangelist and the man who robbed him. And there are a number of Christians who've gotten upset that Trey wrote that book and also that we would interview him. And if you look at the Bible, which should be our standard, if you look at the Bible, you see that God exposes wickedness. And when good people or people who have the reputation of being leaders or especially spiritual leaders, when they do wrong, it's all exposed. So great, great tragedy. And thinking of the contrast with Abu Ghraib, which in comparison to this tragedy during Obama's watch, Abu Ghraib is kid stuff compared to this deliberate murder of innocent civilians. Real tragedy. Let's go to Colorado Springs. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Paul, welcome to Bob and Yart Live. Hello, Paul.
How are you doing today?
Good.
I have a question about the taking trophies and posing with corpses. Isn't that kind of something that David did with Goliath and the 200 foreskins of the Philistines?
Well, all right. Let's think about that. It's a war between the just and the unjust.
Right.
And there is a victory on the side of the just. It could easily become macabre. But it's not altogether inappropriate to say, hey, look, we won and they lost. As, for example, when we defeated the Germans in World War II.
Right.
Could it get macabre? Yeah, it could become that, and that could be wrong. When you murder the innocent, when you intentionally kill the innocent, and it makes your day, and everybody's excited and high-fiving one another, and you take trophies, that just shows the further depth of the depravity.
I guess I could see that. I'd like to know more about why they call them innocent. They're arming kids at 12 years old.
Oh, yeah, right. That's absolutely true. And if there's a kid coming to you with a hand grenade or pointing a gun at you, then tragically you have to take action and immediately. And in those circumstances, children die, and that is not unjust. If a kid points a gun at a police officer and the police officer shoots to defend himself, other officers, other innocent bystanders, that's not unjust. He probably wouldn't celebrate by cutting off the kid's pinky and keeping it in a bag in his pocket. But in this case, in the one instance, did you read much about this, Paul?
I have not read about it.
All right. In the one instance, the platoon is out at in Afghanistan, a remote village, which is not much more than a few mud shacks surrounded by fields. And there is shooting. The shooting begins, and the American troops that are in all different places around this village, they don't go running to the source of what supposedly is combat. And there's machine gun fire from their side, a couple of their troops. And they actually knew that this was going to happen. They knew, they went there with the purpose of picking out one civilian and killing him. And so that's why normally when there's shooting on a patrol, I mean, everybody's adrenaline goes through the roof and everybody takes up positions, defensive positions. That didn't happen. The patrol knew, and this is from testimony from many of the soldiers.
Yeah, I don't agree with targeting of civilians.
Yeah, and the intentional, and not for the purpose of getting for winning a battle, not for that purpose, just literally for fun. In fact, one of these guys had a tattoo put on his back, and the reason this was all exposed was because these soldiers ended up having a fight about the drugs that they were curing in the one guy's bunk. And that had been going on for many weeks, and he got mad about it. They had a fight. So he ended up getting a check by a doctor. And on his back, he had a tattoo of a skull and the Grim Reaper. And what if I'm not the hero? What if I'm the bad guy? What if I'm not the hero? What if I'm the bad guy? This was one of our troops in Afghanistan. And so that raised questions. And so he was asked, and it turns out that he and others had even told officers, even coming right out and saying, that incident 2 days ago? Well, we executed that Afghan on the side of the highway. We executed that guy. And these things were said, and they were ignored. And so anyway, Paul, the way I see it is that in our society, our government and our culture doesn't know right from wrong. So we're raising animals because we tell people there is no God, and we've evolved from animals, question authority, and if it feels good, do it.
Yeah, I guess after spending 10 years in the Navy, most of the reporting about most of the incidents that go on are pretty skewed.
Yeah, so I agree with that.
I take a dim view of things that go on the battlefield, being trying to look at it through a civilian perspective.
Oh,
battlefield's a battlefield.
Hey, Paul, I so completely agree with that. In fact, I believe the same is true when crime becomes sufficiently epidemic such that an urban police force, they go out on patrol and they feel like they're, on the front line of a war. And so I give police officers and our military the benefit of the doubt and tremendous latitude.
But that's where I stand.
I agree with that, Paul. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate your call.
Bob.
You're welcome. 1-800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Yesterday, we were talking about a courageous stand by a state representative from Iowa who is a pro-lifer who is opposing a fetal pain bill. And here on Bob and Yurt Live, we've been on the air for 20 years, 5 days a week on this 50,000 watt AM 670 KLTT. And we have been warning people about these child killing regulations that backfire, and instead we have to support personhood. Well, the hero that we talked about yesterday is Representative Tom Shaw, and what an honor now to speak with Tom Shaw. Tom, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Bob, good afternoon. Greetings from Iowa, and thank you for having me on your program.
You're very welcome. Representative Shaw, can you tell us, give us a little background about how you came to issue the statement that you did yesterday in opposition to this fetal pain bill?
Well, I'm a freshman legislator, and I ran on a pro-life agenda. All my campaign material and my website and everything clearly showed it. Clearly stated that I believe we need to protect all innocent life from fertilization until natural death.
Yes, Representative Shaw, in other words, you believe that it's wrong to intentionally kill innocent children and we should stand up to protect them.
Absolutely, and with this fetal pain bill, the question they're trying to answer is, do they feel pain or not?
Mm.
I say that's not the proper question. The real question is, are they a person?
Is
and
it
of
a
course
person?
They're a person, and therefore, you know, constitutionally, they are protected by both the United States Constitution and our Iowa Constitution.
Because
we cannot kill anybody, you know, there has to be a due process of law.
Right.
These children have not committed any crimes.
Right. You cannot intentionally kill an innocent child or any innocent person intentionally and do so lawfully. And that has been true throughout the centuries and in every nation in the world. So it didn't just become true with our U.S. Constitution being ratified. God is the one who said, thou shalt not murder. So it's always been wrong to intentionally kill an innocent person. But it also says that in our Constitution. And Tom Shaw, what you point out so insightfully is that this bill that's offered by pro-lifers, well-meaning, but I believe misdirected pro-lifers, is worse than Roe v. Wade.
Yes, it is. You know, Roe v. Wade said it is not a person, so it's okay to kill it.
Right.
This supposed pro-life bill says it is a person, but you can kill it anyway.
It is a person. Let me just let that settle in my mind and the audience's mind. This ostensibly pro-life bill says it is a person. The baby in the womb is a person, but as long as you offer painkiller anesthetic, then it's legal to kill it. That is worse than Harry Blackmun writing in Roe v. Wade that if the personhood of the fetus is ever recognized, then the case for abortion collapses because you can't intentionally kill an innocent person.
Right. And to be fair, it doesn't use the language of person, but it does state that life ends at conception. And, you know, it's such a contradiction. They contradict themselves right in the bill. How can you say it's okay to kill after 20 weeks because actually the bill says they start feeling pain before 20 weeks, but somehow they came up with 20 weeks. And, you know, so it's okay because, you know, they feel pain, so we can't kill them.
So,
and then come out with a statement that, but that doesn't mean we don't believe life begins at conception.
So
which is it?
So the bill, Representative Shaw, this bill, it's House File 5, what we would call House Bill 5. This bill states that human life begins at conception or at fertilization. And even though they acknowledge you have a living human being in the womb, they say that you can kill it, and they make this argument about feeling pain.
Yes. And I have been telling everyone and everyone in my caucus, I've been making a couple points. One, since constitutionally we're recognizing it as a person and it is an inalienable right, we as a legislature, we do not have the authority to legislate away an inalienable right.
Mm. Even
we don't have that power.
So, in other words, they are relegating the God-given right to life to a second-tier negotiable issue. Hey, we're going to negotiate Absolutely. With the innocent child's right to life, and we don't have that authority. I think you're exactly right, Representative Shaw, but this backfires then because it's immoral, because it's wrong. It will backfire in many ways that I think the authors of this bill have not considered. We interviewed yesterday about this bill that you eloquently wrote about and opposed. We interviewed a woman, Jo Scott, who has been on the front lines at abortion clinics when women are going in 5 days a week for 30 years. Tom, she's been out there. And we asked her, do women going into abortion clinics, do they look for excuses to justify what they're doing or to satisfy their conscience? And she says constantly, and this will be a huge excuse, women will say that it's okay because the baby won't feel any pain, and even late-term abortion will be viewed as more humane, even late-term abortion, because the baby will feel no pain. And so, certainly in many, many instances, this will actually lead to some children being aborted who would otherwise have been saved.
The other question that I bring up is, do you trust a doctor who is willing to take a sharp instrument and pierce a child's skull in the womb? Do you trust him to accurately diagnose when it's 20 weeks or 21 weeks?
Right.
Especially when all the research I have done is there is no absolute way to determine when conception occurred and when the date of conception is.
Well,
it's anywhere from a 11 to 20 day window in there.
Well,
if the woman lies and gives the doctor the wrong information and they're looking to fudge this and he does an abortion at 22 weeks, there's no way to even go and check to see if he's doing abortions after 20 weeks.
Well, absolutely true. Whenever these abortion regulations, whenever they get the abortionist to perform some function and to certify that this is a legal abortion, they inherently give credibility to the abortionist as though he's an officer of the state or he's a responsible medical professional, which is tragic. And abortionists have said, look, we'll charge for this anesthetic, and what we'd end up doing is giving more money to Planned Parenthood.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so this...
And the other thing I've been telling my colleagues is, you know, we're called upon from God to do what is right.
Mm.
It is not up to me to calculate how a life of conception bill would be treated when it gets to the Senate. It's not up to us to calculate what a court may do in the future. We are to do what is right, and ultimately each and every one of us will be having a meeting with the Supreme Judge.
Wow.
And we will have to answer to him what actions we took.
That is exactly true. Representative Shaw, do you remember a radio talk show host who was on in Iowa until just recently, Dace in the Afternoon, Steve Dace?
I sure do. I had the pleasure of being on his show a few times.
Well, Steve Dace, way out here in Colorado, we follow Steve's radio program. Now, he's off the air on the station that he was on, but I believe that he's got a life's work ahead of him in leadership in our nation and in the pro-life battle. But he has been pointing out eloquently also that we have been losing for 30 years because we stopped advocating the God-given right to life of unborn children, and we set ourselves up as the negotiators, that we work in a back room, a smoke-filled room, and we negotiate with this God-given right to life that formerly it was acknowledged it was inalienable. And that meant you couldn't take it away, you couldn't trade it away, you couldn't sell it, you couldn't negotiate with it, because it was given by God to every innocent person. And that's gone. And so now we have a federal judiciary in Washington and around the country where our federal judges have been mostly appointed by Republican pro-life presidents, but they are overwhelmingly pro-choice. The federal judiciary is pro-choice. And I think it's because we've lost the foundation that would have been the platform for victory.
I can't argue a bit. And I'll take it a step further. Here in Iowa, we have judges that believe they have the authority to change the meanings of words, such as marriage.
Right.
And you do hit the nail on the head here about the compromising. And the first time I heard about this bill back in December, I stood up and said, why did you choose 20 weeks? And they couldn't give me a concrete answer. I says, how about at conception? And they just looked at me like I had a third eye here.
Well,
the problem I had then was you're starting with a compromised bill.
Right.
So we're going to send it to a Democrat-controlled Senate that is even going to further water it down. Mm. I said, this bill is not going to save any babies. If it makes it through the House, Senate, and gets signed into law, it's not going to save any babies.
Representative.
Secondly, Iowa already has a life of conception bill, or a law, if you will, because we have a law that says if you murder a pregnant woman and the baby dies in the commission of that, that you can be charged for infanticide.
Now, that's a fetal homicide bill federally.
Right.
We have the Lacey and Connor Act. And in this country, we have, over 30 states. No, I'm trying to recall the number. Over 20 states that have fetal homicide bills. And every one that I've looked at, Representative Shaw, every one makes an explicit exception for abortion. They say
if
a baby's killed by a drunk driver or during the commission of a bank robbery or a murder, then that is a crime. It's homicide. You could charge the accused with an additional crime, except if the baby was intentionally killed and the mother wanted the baby killed, then it's okay. And so these are all compromised, unprincipled bills. And at American Right to Life's website, right on the homepage, they have a good Unborn Victims of Crime Act. And they show from something Colorado Right to Life had been lobbying for this year, a principled Unborn Victims of Crime Act, where you're not acknowledging abortion, you're ignoring abortion, and they model it after Exodus chapter 21. It's really a brilliant bill. In fact, it's one sentence. They are encouraging states around the country to adopt principled fetal homicide bills that have been introduced around the country.
And I'll almost bet it doesn't say after 20 weeks.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. In fact, it says at any stage of development. And Representative Tom Shaw, this bill that you've opposed, thank you for opposing this. This was wrong on so many levels. American Right to Life had a debate on this fetal pain legislation with the president of Wyoming Right to Life and the editor of Life News, Stephen Ertelt. And the debate, it's online. It's available at AmericanRightToLife.org/debate. And it brilliantly showed that those who advocate this approach have not considered the harmful consequences. They simply have not considered them. And one issue, Tom, is this idea of pain, the baby feeling pain, and a law that says at 20 weeks, that is a major concession to atheists and to materialists. Because remember, John the Baptist was in the womb and he leapt for joy. Now, he was 24 weeks along in Elizabeth's womb when Mary came in and she was pregnant with the baby Jesus. And Jesus had just been conceived. And Jesus was in Mary's womb for all 9 months. But it is so wrong to think that as human beings, we are only our physical bodies. And so if you don't have a fully developed nervous system, you can't feel pain when they rip the baby's arms and legs off at a Planned Parenthood. That's a horrible message to send through legislation to the public, that pain is only a factor of our physical bodies and our physical development.
And I take it a step further. Since we're right now currently a nation of death, and Iowa a state of death, if they don't care for you at the early stages of life, what makes you think they care for you at the end of your life, or in the case of Terry Schiavo, even in the middle of your life?
Yeah.
Until we get back to a culture of life and respecting life, it's just going to get worse, not only with the unborn, but with the elderly and everybody else. We have got to get back to recognizing life.
Well, you're exactly right. We're about out of time, Representative Tom Shaw from Iowa. I want to thank you so much for your heroic stand. Are you getting any people who are thanking you, or is everyone upset?
I'll tell you what, when I explain it to a lot of my constituents, they're very thankful.
Wow.
I am getting some pushback from some organizations. And the biggest reason is there's a Dr. Carhart. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Oh, sure.
From Nebraska.
George Carhart.
And they're worried about him coming to Iowa and setting up a clinic. And that's why all the pressure is to pass this legislation. But I just don't think it's right to put into Iowa code that you can kill them up. You know, hurry up and get them in before the 20th week to kill them.
Yeah, what needs to be done, as is happening all over the country, is the fight to recognize the personhood of the unborn child from the beginning of biological development.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Representative Tom Shaw. What an honor to speak with you.
Thank you, Bob.
All right. We'll try to keep up with what's happening in Iowa, as we've been doing in states around the country, and especially where personhood is being fought for. Hey, God bless you. Our website is KGOV.com.